You know, I always say that I think this world would be a much better place if it was ruled by women and gay men. But it shouldn't be just Jews for Jews, blacks for blacks, whites for whites. You know, we're all the same. We're all human.
You're listening to The Other Half, Conversations with Men on Gender Equality with Kiara Condi.
So we have with us for this episode, Todd Krim. Welcome, Todd.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Todd is a healthcare lawyer turned charity matchmaker. He is the president and CEO of the Krim Group, an LA-based agency that connects charities with celebrities, actors, athletes, musical artists, television personalities, and social media influencers for the purpose of raising funds, driving awareness, and elevating meaningful causes. So that all sounds very impactful, and that is why they call you Mr. Charity. How did that title come about?
You know, it just started, people just started to call me that. I think just because I've been doing this for so long, and especially when I started doing this now about 18 years ago, I mean, I would say it was around 2000, 2003, you know, there weren't that many people that were just throwing charity events all the time and connecting celebrities with causes. So it was a lot easier, you know, it was kind of just like a nickname, but then it took hold.
Yeah, so I guess it's also when you're a pioneer, it's always easier to claim that space. So that's great. I would like to know your opinion for our podcast. Do you consider yourself a feminist or a promoter of gender equality? Do those words speak to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I feel like the word feminist is a little outdated now. I mean, I think everyone should be pro women. I mean, we wouldn't be here if it weren't for women. So
exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm pro gender equality. I'm pro all equality. I mean, all humans are by definition equal. So it's just unfortunate that people still aren't being treated as equal.
Yeah. And where do you think that this came from? Was it something in your upbringing or a life experience or any particular steps or stories that took you there or moments of realization that you thought, wait, we really have to do something to elevate women as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've always been, you know, I was raised in a household with strong, powerful women and, you know, with positive role models. And I've always, you know, and I was raised to respect women. So I think it's a combination, but certainly I would say it wasn't until I got older and learned that women aren't treated equally and don't necessarily have the same rights and pay and treatment that I became even more of a supporter for women.
Is that particularly when you moved to Hollywood that you realized that, or did you even see that in your earlier career as a lawyer?
No, I think it's probably more being in Hollywood.
Well, there are a lot of articles that made all those disparities between men and women in Hollywood very famous around the world in recent years.
Absolutely. And that's certainly that's the power of Hollywood, right? And that's why I do what I do, or why I'm able to do what I do, is the fact that people listen, that people in Hollywood have such a powerful voice and platform.
And can you tell us about your mother and the way she raised you? Were there any specific values that you can point to in your upbringing that were particularly important, or how did she inspire you in your work and life?
Yeah, I mean, sadly, she passed away at 65, so a relatively young age, and I can say that because now I'm only 15 years younger than that. But she, you know, was a amazing woman, smart, creative, compassionate, outspoken, strong. So yeah, she had all the qualities that, you know, I think people look up to. She had great values and ethics, and she fought for what she believed in.
Are there any specific anecdotes or stories that come up when you think of her that you remember?
There's so many, but she had a great sense of humor. She was always smiling. Everyone loved her. She lit up the room wherever she went. And she used to always, I forget the exact quote, but the message was something along the lines of, you know, you really need to make the most of every day. And that's how I live my life now as well.
Oh, that's great. So she really inspired sort of your life mantra.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit more about your work, which is also very inspiring, and your latest campaign, The World is in Our Hands, that you did with Jason Wu and the UN.
Yeah.
I was very, very impressed to discover this campaign and the number of celebrities that joined. Can you tell us about some of the celebrities that joined this campaign?
Yeah, absolutely. And UN Environment was an amazing partner. You know, they really helped in many ways, both substantively and then even engaging some of their ambassadors. I mean, the celebrities, the response was fantastic. We had everyone from Antonio Banderas and Joaquin Phoenix to Susan Sarandon, Rainn Wilson, Rosario Dawson, Aidan Gallagher from Umbrella Academy. He, I think, is like the youngest environmental ambassador they've ever had. And he's wonderful as well. So the response was fantastic. And it was great to have all of them use their platforms to raise awareness of steps that the public can take now to combat climate change, which was really the goal. It wasn't just to take a pretty picture, but to educate and inspire people to make differences now.
What I really liked about the campaign was that each of them was paired with a message describing how they're personally addressing one of the most critical issues of our time. Yeah. And how they're taking critical action to stop that.
Yeah, we wanted to make it personalized and, you know, have them share what they're doing in their own voice and make it authentic, which I think is really what my company does overall, is find influencers or celebrities to, you know, that have authentic connections to the causes that our clients care about and work on.
Yes. And what I thought was very powerful is that each one of us, you know, can do something. The truth is each one of us can do something in our own lives, such as, you know, traveling more sustainably, saving energy, eating less meat, and encourage other people to do that. Just as you have Aidan Gallagher in this campaign say that he commits to a plant-based diet in the face of climate change. And I like the message because it endorses sort of the same idea that's behind this podcast, which is that everybody can be an actor for change, you know, whether it's like climate change or gender diversity, and that everybody can become educated and look at their own individual actions, consumption patterns, things that we do in our everyday lives. And that if each one of us did that, then we would create some really great change.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a really important message, because I see that it's probably the same in the environmental sector, but in the gender equality field, a lot of times we get really, really overwhelmed by statistics such as the World Economic Forum telling us that it's going to take 217 years to reach equality, and all these huge things that we are so behind on that sometimes we forget what our own roles can be in promoting that change.
Absolutely. And I totally agree with you. And I think if everyone takes one small step individually, it can exponentially change the trajectory that we're on and even make change happen faster. I don't know, maybe I'm idealistic, but I'd like to see the changes we're talking about in my lifetime, not 200 years from now.
Exactly. That's why we're here, and that's what we're trying to do. Do you see gender equality becoming a more important cause among celebrities?
I mean, I think it is already up there as one of the most important causes after, you know, climate change. After climate change, healthcare related causes, yeah, gender equality. I mean, certainly here, well, at least here in Hollywood, you know, it's probably one of the first, it's definitely one of the top three that people usually mention. Probably not as many men as women, but I've also seen a change. I think you find, I know there's a lot more male feminists nowadays than certainly there used to be. And, you know, Matt McGorry is a very good example. Do you know Matt from How to Get Away with Murder?
Yeah.
But I definitely think so. I think, I mean, I would love to see a lot more women in positions of power and influence. And, you know, I always say that I think this world would be a much better place if it was ruled by women and gay men. But because, you know, listen, I feel like we've given, you know, straight white males enough time to try to do a good job. And in my opinion, they haven't. So, you know, I don't want to point fingers, and I don't think it's good to, you know, we can't stereotype too much, but we definitely need more diversity in our spheres of influence.
I think that's definitely important, because the more diversity we have, the more perspectives we have, the more the results will also be different.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think women by nature, they're nurturers and they're teachers and they're compassionate and they're loving. And so it's just common sense that women should be, have more power again, and have more say in decisions. And I mean, we could go on for hours about how we got to where we are, but obviously it's an attempt to keep people down and greed and a lot of other things. But I hope to see significant change in the next 20 years.
You also brought up something really important in what you said, that you said, you mentioned women and you mentioned gay men. And something that I'm also trying to outline with this podcast, and I think is also the future of equality in general and diversity, is that there are multiple forms of diversity, not just women. Diversity does not mean only women. Mm-hmm. And that there are also other voices that have not been heard and that have not been heard enough, included enough in the ruling world, and that need to be heard.
Oh yeah. I mean, I would say there's been a lot more female leaders or female heads of state than there have been LGBT heads of state. So they kind of go hand in hand.
Exactly. And the more we open up for everyone, the more that's going to benefit everyone, whether whether that's women, whether that's other minorities. Well, women are not a minority. We are in certain places, or we're not technically in the world. But the more the world is going to open, the more we are all going to benefit, and not just women. And that's what I think is really what we're pushing for in this movement of equality, and it's not just about promoting women. It's about opening that space for everybody.
Yeah, for sure.
And do you think that this appetite for talking about gender equality, promoting gender equality that you see in Hollywood, came out as a result of sort of what you were talking about before, the negative image that Hollywood has, and what came out in the most recent years about whether that's harassment or about women being severely underpaid and not treated equally?
Yeah, I think definitely the Me Too movement. Yeah, I think it definitely, that all played an important role and had an impact. Hollywood has historically been, there's always been an activist streak in Hollywood. Activist, and then even just, you know, outspoken. And I mean, even if you go back to like the USO tour, you know, since World War II, entertainers have been using their platform to bring awareness. And then the, you know, Jerry Lewis telethon and then Jane Fonda. And so, yeah, I think things do tend to, I think, start in Hollywood and then expand outward.
Oh, that's really interesting. Can you tell us more about those examples of how Hollywood actors use their platform? Because I didn't know that it was such an old idea. I always thought that it was such a new thing for actors to promote causes, but I didn't know that it was something that Hollywood had always done.
Yeah, again, just going back to the USO tour back. I mean, in fact, one of my clients is Child Help, a charity that foster care adoption program for abused children. It was started by two former actresses who were on a USO tour and came upon orphans in Japan after tsunami and took them in. And then Ronald and Nancy Reagan asked them to help bring awareness to orphans who have been abused. And that was 60 years ago. So it's not a new phenomenon. It's just become more, I guess you could say,
more visible, maybe.
Yeah, more visible, more. And we've also become a lot more celebrity oriented and obsessed, so to speak. You're right. You know, 20 years ago when I started this, people talked about celebrities, but they weren't in your living room every day and on your phone and in your news feed. So I think that's also part of it, is the way the role technology has played, the role, you know, different formats like reality TV and then these blogs. And so it's like everywhere now, there's so many, you know, there's a need for a lot more content. And so celebrities are filling it up. But I think people are also looking to learn, and there's a variety of different factors at play. But then, you know, I would say it's the increased need for information, the increased accessibility that people have to celebrities and their lives, and then also the growing awareness of the problems that our planet is facing and the issues people deal with that have all come together to create this perfect storm of celebrities and charities.
So you found yourself sort of at the heart of something that grew as you were working on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how I feel about myself as well, because I started working on gender equality 10 years ago. And I could tell you that it was a whole different world and a lot less people were listening.
Yeah, it's about being at the right place at the right time, right?
Yes, exactly. And that's very interesting what you said, and it shows that celebrities today can have an even larger impact than they did back then when they endorse these causes, such as when they show up for a concert, when they help with a fundraising campaign, when they come to an event, or even when they share things on social media.
Yeah, absolutely.
And can you tell us more about maybe some celebrities today in Hollywood that are endorsing women's causes, whether that is promoting equality or whether that's helping with violence against women or other women-related issues?
The major ones are, you know, Patricia Arquette, and then Jamila Jamil, I think, is incredible how outspoken she is and, you know, somewhat controversial because she says some things that are unpopular or ruffle people's feathers, but she speaks the truth, or at least her truth. And I really respect her for that. And then Maggie Q is also a friend who I think is really amazing and inspiring and a real and a strong, powerful woman who speaks up and fights for other women. Amber Heard, who has also taken a beating in the press, but has been very outspoken about, you know, gender equality. And there's more women than not these days. I think if you're not pro-women, you're in the minority.
Yeah, exactly. And it's great to see how many, and just the one from the ones you've listed, how many are coming out and doing this more and more visibly. And it seems like even, you know, even the Oscars are an occasion to show your feminism or to give a message.
Yep, for sure. I mean, it's exciting to be in Hollywood at this time.
And do you see more men getting involved in the subject in Hollywood and more celebrities supporting women-related causes?
I do. There was a big movement a few years ago when Emma Watson started the He for She, and then it just kind of dropped off.
Mm.
I think the kind of scared men a little bit, and they were kind of like, ooh, you know, what can I even do now? I have to be so careful. And there was a bit of a backlash. But I think now things are calming down and people are realizing, you know, just don't be disrespectful. And you'll be fine. And I would like to see more men step up to the plate. And I think they need to. And not just men for women, but straight men for gay men, white people for black people.
Mm.
Everyone needs to fight for each other's equality and equal rights. It shouldn't be just Jews for Jews, blacks for blacks, whites for whites. You know, we're all the same. We're all human. You know, people need to stop. People need to look beyond gender, race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, etc., and just really see each other as human.
I think what you say is really, really crucial. And it's made me think a lot about that, you know, doing this podcast and interviewing men from very different backgrounds about how we really all need to think about how to make a world more equal for everybody, and how so many voices need to be heard. Women are represent, you know, part of that, but not all of it. And how our identities are also interrelated as well. Because often we talk about women as if they were all the same, but though our experiences also vary according to our background, our ethnicity, et cetera. So we really need to open the conversation up a lot more.
Yep. No, 100% agree.
I'm glad. Can you tell us a bit more about the men who are getting involved and why this message is speaking a lot about more to men? You said something very interesting about there being maybe a step backwards after the He for She came out, but now men want to be engaged. Is this something that you're seeing in the charities that you're working with, that they also would like to work with some male celebrities? Because obviously, what you were also saying before, often when it's a women's cause, we think about calling a woman because we feel a woman represents us. And that can be true, but that is not always true. Men can also speak for us. Men can also stand for gender equality. So is this something that you're seeing as a trend among your work and charities?
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, just to be clear too, you know, female empowerment is among the many issues I work on. My company focuses on all the sustainable development goals and a variety of different issues. But yeah, when it comes to female empowerment, I did work on a summit last year in Bangkok called the Dragonfly Summit, which was really incredible. And I was so impressed with my client, Pam, who put that together. It was, I think, one of the first female empowerment summits in Asia. And she did such an incredible job of curating the event. I helped her get Jamila Jamil and Maggie Q to participate. But I encourage your listeners to check it out. It was called the Dragonfly Summit. And it was in Bangkok in, I want to say, November of 2019. But yeah, I love what's happening globally with this effort to fight for women's rights and equality, you know. And I mean, we could spend another hour talking about the Middle East, but I'm not prepared to go there today. But I think it's a really exciting time to be in the female empowerment world.
Yes, I also saw from your Instagram something that you mentioned with Steven Tyler and JD's fund, which is for abused women and children, which he supports. So that was another example of a man supporting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's amazing. I absolutely love Steven. And he's incredible. I mean, it's so inspiring. Every year I go to that event, I'm really blown away.
Can you tell us more about that?
Well, just, you know, he has helped so many women and young girls who have been sexually abused through his foundation, just raising money and helping them rebuild their life and inspiring them. And it's just so heartfelt. Every year at his Grammy viewing party, he brings them on stage and they share their stories. And you could just tell it brings so much joy to him. And, you know, I think it brings joy to everyone to get back. And that's why I love what I do, because it's not just a benefit for the charities to have the celebrities, but it's a benefit for the celebrities to give back. It's really, I'm very lucky because what I do is really a win-win for everyone involved.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And also because often we don't associate men with such a cause. So it's great to see somebody have that level of engagement, helping abused women. And this is something that particularly speaks to me because I also have a charity that I started, which helps women who have suffered from violence rebuild their lives through entrepreneurship.
Oh,
so I'm very touched by this.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, no, it's a cause that's really important to me as well.
Speaking of, you know, really amazing women that have crossed your path, you worked with Michelle Obama on her Reach Higher campaign. How was it to work with the former First Lady?
Oh, I mean, she's incredible. So inspiring. Every time I see her, she's just a ray of light and brilliance and charisma and intelligence. I mean, she has it all. She's just, I can't get enough of Michelle.
I know, she's pretty up there with the amazing, inspiring women of today. So, and just to tell people, listeners who maybe don't know, the former First Lady, Michelle Obama, has often told her own story, and especially if you look at her book, Becoming, of the fact that she was a first-generation college student who decided that she would reach higher. And she then enrolled in Princeton University, and this launched her idea to push more students to think about higher education and go beyond high school. And this is something that she started while she was still in the White House. And can you tell us a bit more about how you worked with her on that initiative and what you did and a little more about that?
Yeah. Basically, I've been donating my time and volunteering essentially to help Michelle and the team get celebrities to support them. You know, everyone from Ciara to Alessia Cara, Carmelo Anthony, Calvin Johnson Jr., otherwise known as Megatron, and bring awareness to her campaign. And yeah, it's definitely one of the highlights of the year. In fact, I need to reach back out to find out what they have planned this year. But yeah, I mean, what she's done is just incredibly inspiring. It's one of my favorite events of the year, actually.
What is the event about?
She has everyone put on their college t-shirts, and it's basically a giant celebration and party to recognize the students who are signing up essentially to go to college.
Great. And the celebrities do the same thing, or?
No, the celebrities, some of them didn't even go to college because they were into acting. But even the ones that didn't go to college are still pro education. And a lot of them say they want to go back to college or go to college when they get a break. And some of them have, but they're really there just to honor and recognize the students.
Oh, that's amazing. It must be a really powerful moment when you see all of these students together.
Oh yeah. And I mean, it's become, when I first did this 5 years ago, it was just Ciara, Mrs. Obama, and I, and now it's like everyone, John Legend, BB Rexha. I mean, it's Usher and Don Cheadle. And I mean, everywhere you looked, you felt like you were at like the Oscars. One time I remember I ran into Carly Kloss, Zendaya, Bella Hadid. It was like, oh my God, you felt like you were at like the, you know, Jimmy Fallon show or something.
Well, it's a great example of how a woman who has a lot of power and a lot of visibility is leveraging that power and visibility to bring in other influential people to create a massive change.
Yeah, completely.
And then it's a very concrete change because it's bringing students who would probably not enroll to enroll in these college courses. And just a final question. What do you think that men can do to think about more about the subject and to become actors for gender equality in their own lives? How can we be the change that we want to see?
Yeah, I mean, I think men need to. I still can't believe that we forget that women are the ones that even brought us into this world. Some guys, I feel like they get here and they're like, woo, all right, see you later, mother. You know, like, how can you, like, I don't even know how a man could disrespect a woman, you know, when we wouldn't be here if it weren't for women. So I think men really need to be, they need to stand up for all women. They need to stand up for their mothers, their sisters, their aunts, their neighbors, their coworkers, and their daughters, and insist that they be given equal treatment in all areas of, you know, life.
Yeah, I really like that because you're the first person who said it in that way. And that's a very, very powerful way of saying things. Men also need to stand up for us women. It's not just the role of women to stand up for women. And going beyond just respecting us, men can also stand up for us.
Oh, absolutely. Men need to.
So thank you. Thank you for that very powerful message. And thank you for being here.
No, my pleasure. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you, and I appreciate you inviting me on your show.
Thank you.
And that's all for this episode. Please subscribe, leave us a review, or get in touch on email, kiara@kiaracondi.com. This episode of The Other Half was edited by me, Lishan Huang. Until next time.